Sometimes I feel like there's this huge, awesome, all-powerful God, and we scratch the surface of experiencing him. We minimize experiencing God to sitting in a church service or reading a devotional. But his presence is everywhere at all times, and we are just scratching the surface. If you've driven anywhere in the world today, you have seen a truck that is gray with a little blue smiley face on it. What truck is that? Amazon. And it says, there's more to Prime. A truckload more. You've read it. You've seen it. I feel like when I see that, I feel like, man, it's almost challenging. Like, man, there's so much more of God for me to experience. There's so much more that God has for me and for you. And I'm just scratching the surface. Praise God. Praise God. I want to say that when I'm finished speaking, I will invite you to respond, because this is not just about me talking. It is about God's word speaking into your heart. That's why I preach from the Bible and not, you know, somebody else's thoughts. Right? It's God's word. And specifically, I'm going to invite you to step out of your seat and come to the front. If you have a need that you want prayer for, God is here this morning, and he wants to help you with that need. If it's a physical need, you can come down. We will pray for you. The Bible says they laid hands on them. If you're comfortable with that, we would do that. Now, there was also a centurion in the Bible that says, you don't even got to come to my house. God will heal me. So we don't got to touch you. But we will pray with you if you have a physical need. If you have a financial need you'd like prayer over, you can come down to the front. You, your spouse, your family, we will pray with you over that need. If you have some sort of mental block or emotional need or something going on with your mind, a mindset, a stronghold, something you're believing that doesn't feel right, come on down. We will pray for you. If you are just pursuing God and you're saying, God, I feel like I'm scratching the surface. I know there's more of you out there. There's more of you for me to experience. Come on down to the front. We will pray with you. We have people that will be ready and willing to pray with you this morning. Praise God. I want to start reading in Acts 19. Acts 19 and verse 1. Acts is right after the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. So if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, Matthew and John followed Jesus around. Mark and Luke got a bunch of testimonies and wrote the same story, right? And so they're the accounts of Jesus' life on earth. Then Acts is what happened after he left with those 12 men and all the followers, or more than them, all the people that followed him. They spend 3 years with Jesus, day and night, all around, traveling with him. They learn everything they can from him, and he says, go out and teach everybody what I taught you. And so the book of Acts is what they did after spending 3 years with Jesus. So let's read Acts 19. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Now set the stage here. Paul is going, when Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was passing through the upper regions. He comes to Ephesus and he finds some disciples, some believers, some people pursuing God, following God. And he says, have you received God's Spirit in your life since you believed? And they said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? We're just following. We're disciples. We're being taught. We're following. We haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he says, John baptized the baptism of repentance, but that was all about believing in Christ. You should believe in Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. I'm working through a little bit of a cold. So If I snort or cough or something, it's normal. I think I'm winning. This is an interesting scripture to me. This idea that these were believers, genuine believers with great hearts and good intents, trying to follow God the best way they knew how. And Paul recognizes that. He's like, I see you're a believer. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? What are you talking about? What is this Spirit? We believe. Well, what were you baptized? We're baptized unto John. Oh. And he starts to preach something. We don't have all the words, but we know the result is that they were baptized in Jesus' name. And it says, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. This morning, I want to speak on this idea of beyond belief. I feel like everything with God is this journey where we're constantly moving, thank you, Brother Booker, moving forward, but we're also moving closer and closer to God. We're leaving more and more of ourselves aside, and the goal is to become more like God. And it's this journey that we are on. And I think if you're starting a journey and I said, hey, I want to go to the Boundary Waters. I like the Boundary Waters. And I said, well, I think it would be fun. And I've been there. It's a good time. Like, we should go. But I've got to start, right? And right now is the time to register. Registration just opened for the Boundary Waters, if you're wondering. Carlos, it's open right now. So we got to book that trip. Yeah. It's just opening right now. But then it's like, well, you got to plan your days. And then you got to get your food. And then you got to drive up there. It's like a long time from here. And then you actually get in the water and you can start to experience it. But it's not till you get up there that you experience the majesty of this area that's untouched by man. This area that you can only enter with your feet in a canoe. That's it. There's no motorized boats. There's no buildings once you get up in there. There's a million acres, I think it's over a million acres, of land that you can experience. And I could show you, this is not the picture, I could show you pictures of the Boundary Waters and you'd be like, oh, that's cute. But until you experience it, man, there's so much more there. You can go as far as you want in that million acres. You can go deep into the acreage and get as far as you want where, you know, very few people are. You could stay right near the borders, and you'll see more people. They'll all be in canoes and walking around. But it starts somewhere. And I worry sometimes that we start our journey with God, and we end at the starting point. We don't progress. We don't move forward. We don't move beyond belief. And I think that there's a challenge here when we read Scripture. Let me give you some examples of what I mean by a challenge. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, so you need to believe. That makes sense. It says we must believe. Romans 10:8-13. This is interesting. You've heard this verse before. Romans 10:8-13. Says this. But what does it say? Actually, I've got it on my iPad. I'm going to put it on there. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. So we preach something to you. You know the word. It's near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 100%. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, who believes on him will not be put to shame. This is a verse we've heard, this concept of, listen, you need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, that is 100% true. We need to confess with our mouth and believe with our heart. We should do that. And can I also say that without believing, you cannot be saved? It's 100% true. In fact, this verse that we're reading, this idea of confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think if we stopped reading the Bible at these verses, we would come to the conclusion that belief is the end. That belief is both the starting point of my journey and the end of my journey. But what I don't see that in the Bible. What I see in the Bible is God is asking us to go beyond belief. But it starts with belief. I'm not going to take you to a different verse. We're going to keep reading this one. 10:12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Confess, believe with you. Verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're moving things a little bit. Yes, we got to believe, but we have to call on the name of the Lord. And it says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and who they have not heard? And so we see this progression that, one, there's this hearing about God. And two, then once you've heard, you can believe. And once you believe, you can call. It's just in the Bible. We're just reading it, right? And he has a couple other things. And then in verse 16, he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed our report? Now, Paul here is tying belief to obedience. Now we're getting another step. Now, before you all get on me and say we are justified, or sorry, that we are saved by grace through faith and that not of works, 100%. The fact that you can even begin this journey is because of God's grace in your life. 100%. But Paul is saying that they've not obeyed, so who's really believed? You're telling me that you believe, but you're not obeying. So the same verse that says confess with your mouth and believe in your heart also says, hey, you say you're believing, but I don't see obedience. And he says in verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now it's interesting, if you keep going, after verse 17, Paul says, but I say, have they not heard? And he goes, yes, indeed they have. He paused, I think he's like, if you ever read Paul, he kind of goes back and forth. Sometimes he sounds like he's bipolar, like he's talking to himself, right? You know what I mean, Tim? Sorry, that was a joke from yesterday. You told the joke, not me. Like he's talking to himself. And Paul's saying, okay, they haven't believed. I can tell they're not believing because they're not obeying. And he's saying, well, maybe this is why. Maybe it's because they haven't heard. He goes, well, no, that's not true. The sound has gone out to all the earth and the words to the ends of the world. Oh, but maybe, verse 19, maybe Israel didn't know. Maybe they haven't heard, remember, hearing, believing, calling out, obeying, right? Maybe they didn't know. Well, Moses said, I move you to anger by a foolish nation. And he goes on, and I'm not going to read all the verses, but he's essentially saying, well, maybe they didn't hear. Well, yeah, I guess they have heard. Well, maybe they didn't know. Actually, they have known. He's like, so what is their excuse? We've been talking on Wednesday nights about distractions and discipline. We've been taking Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, where it says that we should lay aside every weight and the sin that is so easily ensnaring us, and we should run the race set before us. We should get on this journey, this pursuit of God in our lives. And Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 7, he says, you ran well. Talking about this race. He likes this race idea. He says later, I pressed towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, you ran well. In Galatians 6, 7, who hindered you from obeying the truth? I can just imagine Paul saying, wait, guys, you started. You actually showed up to the race. And you started your walk with God. You were obeying, but what stopped you? What hindered you from obeying God? This idea of belief alone is not something I see supported in the Bible. I see belief alone as the starting point. There's so much more to these examples in Scripture where God is calling us beyond belief. And it's not some big like, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You can't get there. It's a, oh man, I'm so glad you started there. But hey, if you'll just come here, there is something awesome here. My spirit is so wide and so deep and so broad. You're barely scratching the surface. We talked about this a couple months ago when Ezekiel's talking about the water, and the water symbolizes Christ, the Spirit of God. And he's like, oh, you you can look at the water. Oh, you can just kind of get in at your ankles. You can get into where it's at your knees. Oh, but we want to be at the place where God's Spirit is completely surrounding us. We want to be drowning in it. He used this analogy. And we see this all throughout Acts. Let's go to Acts 8. I'm going to start at verse 1. At Acts 8, verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. Now remember, actually I shouldn't say remember. You probably don't know. Acts 7 is when Stephen was persecuted and stoned. Stephen was one of the followers of Christ. After he died, he was out there spreading the word, doing good things. And he is stoned for his belief in God. More importantly, he is stoned for his belief that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came down to save our sins. He is the Messiah that was long promised. And all the Jews decide to kill him. And we hear about this guy named Saul who was consenting unto his death. Saul was the one that made it happen. Saul was like, yeah, let's stone him here. I'll even hold your coats so you guys have free arms to throw hard. Saul was consenting to his death. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial. A great lamentation, and made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So the church is in Jerusalem. They had just experienced this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And now all of a sudden the church is under persecution and they have to scatter. But can I tell you, sometimes the scattering that the Spirit does for us is to get us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes the scattering the Spirit does in our lives is to put us in a different place with somebody that needs to experience that same Spirit. Sometimes we need to get out of where we are at. And maybe God's nudging you that way, saying, hey, you got to get over here. My Spirit's, yeah, it's there, but you know what? There's somebody over here that needs your help. And that's what we see in this verse, because in verse 4 it says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. I lost my place. And preached Christ unto them. And the multitudes with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So Philip leaves Jerusalem. There's a lot of persecution. He's like, where else can I go preach Jesus? And he goes to Samaria. We read in verse 6 that the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. So he said things. They heard it. They believed it. And they said, we're going to give our attention to it. We're going to listen and hear what he's saying. It says verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. Man, there was a great move of God in Samaria. God's presence was there. God was using Philip. God was working through Philip. And his presence, it says there was people that were possessed, that were completely, the demons came out of them. There were people that were paralyzed and that were lame, and they were healed. And then in verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. That sounds like a great time. They heard something great. They believed in it. And they got to experience God. God's presence was moving in a great way. There were healings. There was joy. Everybody felt great. It left them in this state of just joy. Experiencing God. But when they believed Philip, they believed, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Can I just say that all through Acts, they preached the name of Jesus Christ, because salvation is in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says healing is in the name of Jesus Christ. There's none other name under heaven whereby we can be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And so you see them, Silas, Barnabas, Paul, Peter, every one of the disciples, apostles, going through Acts, preaching Jesus' name and baptizing in Jesus' name. When they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So they heard, they paid attention to, they believed, I'm just reading the words, and they followed up their belief with a choice, a decision to go beyond belief and be baptized. Their belief was so strong, their works followed it. James says, you show me your faith by your works. We get it backwards sometimes, like, look at how good I look. I must have faith. No, you can, that's just discipline. Then Simon himself, verse 13, also believed. And when he was baptized, this is a person, they mention him in this passage. He was in Samaria. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So let's make sure we understand this story. Okay? Philip gets sent over here. He preaches unto them Jesus. They heed what he says. They believe what he says. What he says. And they are baptized in Jesus' name. Now, something interesting here. I'm missing a couple verses, but essentially what happens is the apostles hear about it in Jerusalem. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now, hold on. It's almost like Philip was like, I'll go preach to them. And they're like, okay, let's see how that works out. Those are the Samaritans. Those are kind of the outcasts. And the word gets back. Man, God is doing great things in these lives. People are hearing. People are believing. People are getting baptized in Jesus' name. And they're like, okay, let's go check it out. Let's go see what's going on. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now we see another word. They heard, they heeded, they were baptized, they obeyed, and it says they received the word of God. It sounds like you could say that they have confessed with their mouth and believed in their hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. They definitely believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him. They definitely like Hebrews 11:6, where it says that they should believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. They definitely believed. Why did Peter and John go? Maybe it was just to see. Did they really believe? I don't know, but we see the pattern. They heard, they believed, they responded, they went past belief, beyond belief, and they received. Verse 15, Peter and John, they go down to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Hold on. This is an important clarification. Now, we know God's Spirit was there. We know God's Spirit was working. There were miracles. People's lives were touched. There was joy. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. We see this in the scripture. There's undeniable that they heard, they believed, they were baptized. It is undeniable that the Spirit of God was in that place touching people's lives. Can we agree? Verse 16. But as yet, he had fallen on none of them. That seems a contradiction to me. As yet, he had fallen upon none of them. What he's showing us here is that we can hear God's voice. We can hear the message that a preacher speaks. How shall they hear without a preacher? We can believe that it's true. We can get baptized. We can experience God's presence when we come to, well, anywhere. But they were in maybe a service type atmosphere. They could experience God's presence, and yet he had not fallen on them. What we're seeing is a distinction between the Spirit working and the Spirit dwelling. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing that the Spirit hadn't fallen on them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so they had heard, they had responded, they had believed. They had been baptized, and yet they hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. What I see in this verse, and you can go to Acts 19, you can go to Acts 10, you can go to Acts 2, but the theme in Acts is the same. The Holy Spirit is not tied to baptism. Baptism doesn't mean that you received the Holy Spirit because they had been baptized.
Belief does not mean that you have received the Holy Spirit because they had believed. Confessing and believing does not mean that you have received the Holy Spirit because they had done that. Experiencing God in a powerful way and feeling His presence all around you and seeing His work and maybe even finding healing does not mean that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God is calling us to go beyond belief, church. Verse 17, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. We see the progression. We see this idea that they heeded in verse 6. They believed in verse 12. They were baptized. There was obedience to their belief in verse 12. They were baptized, this obedient response. In verse 14, it confirms that they had received the word. They had welcomed the message. And yet in verse 16, they had not received the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit was not dwelling inside them. Each one of these steps, I see God there just encouraging, just so happy. Oh, I love how they heard that message. Oh, I love how they believed it. Oh, look at how they responded in obedience to their belief. But he said, there's something beyond belief.
In Acts 9, this was in Acts 9, we hear the story of the same Paul, the one that was out there persecuting everybody, the one that was trying to kill the church and take away. Because you know what? You know what? Know something about Paul? Paul knew Scripture. Paul knew about God. Paul believed in God. Oh, he believed in God more than any of you. He believed in it so much, he was willing to go out and kill the people that didn't believe in his God. Man, this was a man that believed in God. He was actually out there persecuting disciples. And so he went to the high priest and he asked for letters. And he says, let me go to Damascus so that if I find any who were of the way of Jesus, whether men or women, I want to bring them bound to Jerusalem. This is verse 2. As he journeyed, he came to Damascus and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground and he heard a voice. This is not a pattern I'm making up, church. He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul says, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. This is where Saul meets God. This is where Saul is introduced to God. This is where he hears the voice like, I'm Jesus, you're persecuting me. No, I'm serving my God. No, that's me, you're killing me. No, 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 it's a different, no, that's me. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, this is interesting. He heard, he clearly believed, he was down on his knees. The voice from heaven, I'm Jesus, you're persecuting, right? He's believing. And I love his heart. This just shows the heart of Paul. What do you want me to do? How do I move past this now? What's beyond belief? I now believe, but what do you want me to do? And Saul rose from the ground. Oh, sorry. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city and you'll be told what to do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground. When his eyes were opened, he saw no one because he was blinded. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. There was a verse in here. I'm not skipping it for any reason other than it talks about Ananias. And in verse 17, it says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, laying his hands on him, saying, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight. You heard it, Saul. You received it. You believe it. You asked what was next. And I'm here to receive your sight. I'm here that you could receive. God sent me. The Lord Jesus sent me so that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a man who literally is on the side of the road. A light shines. He hears a voice talking to him directly. Man, this is an experience with God. Whoa!
Cornelius was a devout man. He gave, he did all the great things. Cornelius was awesome. He was a Christian, a believer. He confessed. He did everything a Christian should do. Cornelius, a Gentile, saw an angel of God speak to him. I have not had that yet. And yet Cornelius was told how he has to go beyond belief. He has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. I love this because Paul's eyes are literally and physically opened. There's something about that. When we start to follow Christ, when we believe on Christ, and we call on the name of the Lord, and he fills us with his Spirit, all of a sudden our eyes are open and things start to make a little bit more sense. And you know what? The result of Paul's story is literal history. He wrote most of the New Testament. In fact, he changes his name to Paul. This man who knew God, who believed God, who experienced this awesome experience with God, had an immeasurable impact on the world because of the Spirit that was inside of him, working through him. God wants us to know that we don't stop short this morning. Don't stop short. Don't stop at belief. There's so much more beyond belief. God wants you to experience him fully, not to be a part of a service or an atmosphere where you feel the presence of God, like Brother Marvin was saying. Oh, that's the presence of God. That's great. God doesn't just want you to have that. God says, oh, I want to go beyond that. I want to fill you with my Spirit. This same Paul who had this experience is the one that then teaches us about the power of the Spirit in your life. This same Paul talks about that when the Spirit of God is living in your life, there will be fruit. All of a sudden you will have love and you will have joy and you will have peace and you will have long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. He said, this is what will be in your life. This is the fruit of having God's presence in your life. But he doesn't stop there. He said, there's going to be gifts. It's not this cool, pretty feeling. It is a good, pretty feeling. But it doesn't stop there. He goes beyond being filled with the Holy Spirit to where now the Holy Spirit is active in my life, helping me, growing me, teaching me. And there is power. What we saw with Philip, those signs and wonders, that's for today. But we got to get beyond belief. We got to get beyond comfort. We got to get beyond this idea that, well, this is cool and I feel good and I believe and I've said it. Man, we got to get beyond belief. In Acts 1, before Jesus ascends into heaven, he tells his disciples and followers, including his mother, I'm with you, this is good, but go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. I know you believe in me. I know you believe that I am God. I know you believe what I'm teaching you, but go in Jerusalem and wait, because there's something beyond belief that is coming. It's a promise. And he says, you will be baptized. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. These are believers, followers of Jesus. They spent 3 years with him. They literally saw him and spent 40 days with him after he was rose from the dead. And he says, after he says, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, he says, and you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Can we stand this morning? We see this differentiation between believing, or so let me start over, between hearing, that's good. We need to hear. We need to be changed by what we're told. And then we see believing, and we see obeying, and we see being baptized, and we see being filled with God's Spirit so that it empowers us. Not so we can enjoy the feeling that we feel from everybody else or from God moving in a place, but God wants to move directly in your situation. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. God's Spirit living and working inside of you, which brings results that are beyond belief. You can't even believe what God's Spirit can do in your life. It is going to be so great and so awesome. If you haven't felt joy, God's Spirit brings joy. If you haven't felt peace, God's Spirit brings peace. If you haven't felt wholeness of mind, God's Spirit brings wholeness of mind. If you are looking for power in this world to overcome sin and overcome the devil and overcome wrong thoughts and mindsets and strongholds, it's in God's Spirit. And I'm telling you, it's beyond anything that you could believe right now. It is so awesome. Our mission here at Calvary Gospel Church is to know God, to love others, and to go with purpose, discipling others to do the same. Paul gets to the heart of this in Philippians 3:10. He said, that I may know him. The guy who knew Scripture better than anybody else. The guy that had this awesome experience on the road to Damascus. The guy who was filled with God's Spirit said, I just want to know him. I want to be close to him. I want to experience more. I went beyond belief and now I want to go beyond infilling. And I want to have his Spirit working in my life. I don't want to stop at hearing about him. I don't want to stop at knowledge of him. I don't want to stop at believing. I don't want to stop at merely experiencing a good feeling. I want to know him. God's Spirit is here. It's all over this place. And you can experience it. Maybe you already are.